Welcome, friends, to the Life on Purpose podcast. I'm so excited to start my third season with you. This year, we are focusing on the word confidence, how to get more of it, and where we are currently seeking it. The goal is to bring you some incredible conversations that will provide you with newfound wisdom, guidance, and resources. And on this third season of Life on Purpose podcast, we want to keep you inspired and remind you that everything you are looking for is on the other side of fear. It is my privilege, as always, to be a part of your journey to living with courage, hope, and confidence this year. In the beginning, we all know to living with confidence starts with recognizing what is keeping us stuck. And for a fun, quick way to get started, hop over to my website at amydebrick.com and take my quiz, Are You Stuck in Your Comfort Zone? You can also access other free resources while you're there or grab a copy of my book, Embolden. Enjoy. Well, welcome everyone this morning on the Life on Purpose podcast. I have the privilege of talking to Tiffany Jo Baker twice in the last month, which is so special. So welcome, Tiffany. I'm so glad you're here.
Amy, thanks so much for having me.
Well, I'm going to let Tiffany give her bio, but she is a mom, a surrogate, a speaker, podcaster, and author of the book Soul Care for Goal-Getters, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. But if you can, in addition to my little brief synopsis of you, can you give the listeners just a little background about who you are?
Yeah, Amy, first of all, thanks so much for having me. I enjoy our conversations. And so a little bit about me. Who is Tiffany Jo Baker? That's always a great question when you get asked that. Well, I like to say I'm a caffeinated mom of two teen girls. So we're in that. We have one in college, one still at home, almost empty nesters, married to my polar opposite, but best friend, who's an extreme outdoorsman. And, you know, I'm a prodigal daughter who has come home and was open, received back into the loving arms of a family that loved me, and more importantly, a God that loved me. And so I see every day as a gift. And, you know, the way God used me, you mentioned me being a surrogate. One of the ways that God uses me is helping people birth their God-given dreams. Mm. And so it's been neat to see how God's done that through babies, literal babies, as well as through helping go-getter Jesus girls do what they've been called and created to do.
Yeah. That's incredible. That's incredible. I love that. And I always love when, I know you said the prodigal daughter, but I love when we're able to use our past for something great in the future. And you know, I was talking to Latasha Ferguson about this not that long ago, and it's that same idea of, you know, when you're in that brokenness or when you're in that, whatever that struggle is, it's so hard, right? I mean, you can't even really see your way out of it, and especially what could come of it or what you can do with it. And I think that's the most important thing. And that's what I love about your ministry, is it's not that you just came out of it, but it's what you were willing to say yes to. So I just think it's incredible that it's not only what you've done for yourself coming out of that, but what you do for other people. And I always think that is the real life changer right there, is not only, you know, is what we can offer somebody else from that same pain point or struggle that we've faced. So one of the things that I want to just kind of, I mean, there's so many great things about your story and things that you offer in your community that we could talk about today. I know we won't have enough time to do that, but one of the things right off the top, and you touched on it and I touched on it, is being a surrogate. To me, you know, motherhood is one of the greatest gifts that I feel like God has ever given me. And so for you to be able to offer that to somebody else, to me, is one of the most selfless things that you can possibly do. And part of that is, like we had talked a little bit, just briefly before we recorded, is those saying those yeses to what God has for us. And they're so difficult sometimes. I mean, for me, it was always overcoming fear and living with confidence and what that looks like. But whatever the yes is, it's that act of obedience, and it's so scary. And I can't even imagine saying yes to, you know, offering motherhood to somebody else, you know, with you doing all of that, carrying the baby and letting it go and what that feels like. So if you can, for the listeners, I just, and for me, share a little bit about what that journey is like and how you even decided to do that. How did that yes come to you?
Yeah, it, you know, God is so cool that he does things that are unexpected. So I think for me that the difficulty in the yes was it was unexpected. I'm a planner by nature. So in my mind, I think since I came out of my mother's womb, I had a plan, you know, for my life. And I'm like, and by this time I'm going to do this. And so I really saw myself as being more career oriented, very career oriented. When I was younger, I was like, I'm going to be the first female president, wanted to be a CEO, entrepreneur, all those things. And then God in his great wisdom and humor gives me this gift of pregnancy. And I didn't realize it was a gift until we had one daughter who was a year old, and we were in the ministry, youth pastors at that time. And I was also the director of our church preschool. And I came in one morning to tell my friends who were my fellow teachers in the preschool that I had just gotten a positive pregnancy test that morning. And in the circle, I looked at the faces of my friends, and I especially looked across the way to one of my friends who was older, who didn't have children. And in that moment, I saw that look of joy and pain simultaneously flash across her face. And in that moment, God spoke to my heart two things. Number one, I've given you a gift, which was pregnancy. And number two, she's dealing with infertility. Because she had never said anything. It was never something we even talked about back then. I mean, this was, you know, oh goodness, 18 years ago. Yeah. And that's where the initial seed, God planted that seed in my heart of closely, shortly after that, I thought, you know what? I would do that for somebody. I would carry somebody else's baby. And even then, I didn't even know what the word was, like surrogacy. I didn't even know that word. I knew that it might be a thing, but I didn't know that word. And so that's really where the seed was planted and started my journey of figuring it out, researching what it entailed, and more importantly, the timing for our family. You know, I believe next to the decisions that we make that God leads us to, the timing of those decisions are second most important to that. So, I really, after I gave birth to our second daughter, a couple years later, it just felt like it was right. And throughout that time, God gave a couple confirmations that, yes, you should look into this, you know, even as silly as the comedy Baby Mama, if you've ever seen that movie, yeah. You know, so God uses Hollywood and comedies, like, you know, things like that to just reinforce and confirm, taking steps in that direction. And so I did, I found a local Christian surrogacy agency. I filled out the application. It was like 25 pages back then. It was like print out, fill in, put in the mail. Okay. And I put it in the mailbox, and within 24 hours it was delivered. The director read it. She called me and she said, "Tiffany, I have a couple that's been looking for a surrogate like you for 2 years." Ugh. And that immediately, I was in my car, just sent me into like the ugly cry, because I felt like in that moment, it was a divine moment. And that was a big piece to how God has called and created me to be and to do.
Yeah. That is just incredible, Tiffany. And so I want to just ask you this, because I think that a lot of people, when you hear about surrogacy, and you know, obviously it is such a selfless gift to give another family. What is that like for you when you give the child up? Mm-hmm. I just have to ask that, because I know a lot of people, when they're going to hear this, are going to be thinking that, like, gosh, was she devastated after that? What is that process like? Or is there no process, because you are going into it knowing that this isn't going to be your child, but you're nurturing this baby for, you know, 9, almost 10 months. And so I just wanted to ask that. And if you can answer, you know, because I know people probably are interested in what that answer is.
Yeah. And Amy, I think that's probably the number one question I get. How hard was it for you to give up the babies?
Sure.
And God's made me to be a thinker first. I'm more cognitive than a feeler. Yes. I could see my feeler friends. I could see it being probably more difficult for them. But since I went into this calling, this assignment, knowing what my purpose was, and that was to be a piece of the puzzle to help them birth their babies. And, you know, when you go into a surrogacy relationship with the intended parents, as you're getting matched, one of the things they talk about is, what kind of relationship do you want? Do you want to keep it strictly medical, strictly business, or do you want to be a part of each other's families? And I've been a surrogate 3 times, carried 5 babies. So there's 2 sets of twins in there.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes. Lots of stretching going on for sure. And lots of hormones going on. So with each surrogacy journey, the mom and often the dad, both of them were at every appointment with me. Even when they lived as far as either a state away or 6 hours away, would drive in, stay overnight at our house. And with twins, you're considered high risk. So I had a lot more appointments. So we really got to know each other, and it really was about me helping them. So I saw myself more like a godmom, more like an aunt. And that's the type of relationship that I have. And I have to say, like, I love the kids. I see them like nieces, nephews, but I have an even a more special bond with the parents, if that even makes sense, because we were on that together.
Mm-hmm. That definitely makes sense. That definitely makes sense. And I can see that. I'm so glad to hear that you even have some relationship with any and all of them, parents and kids, because I think that's such a special relationship. Like you said, it becomes more family, maybe less the parent, but more just like this, we're family now. And so that is just so special. And the other thing that I love that you pointed out, and I think this is really important, and I think this goes back to when we do say yes to something that God has laid on our heart, it is really important to use that, you know, head over heart emotion. Because sometimes we need to make sure, like you said, the decision-making, it needs to be right for our family and right for us. And so it does sometimes feel easy, or maybe not easy, but we might be more prone emotionally to want to say yes to many, many things. I mean, I could see myself, not being ending up the same way you were, where it's more of like an aunt type relationship. I'm more of a feeler. I'm more of an emotionally driven. My sister, completely opposite. She's more of, head over heart. I'm more heart over head. And it's something that I have to learn how to balance. But having said that, it's really important to know that going into it and before we are saying yeses. And it doesn't matter what the yes is, but making sure that, like you said, in the very beginning, it really makes sense, not only for you, but for your family, and that you're really thinking it through all the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I could see that being devastating. Even though it's an amazing yes, I could still see that being devastated for you and your family if you hadn't done it that way, done it the right way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it was like, it was a family decision, though because it affected, especially carrying twins twice. And at the end of both twin pregnancies, which is fairly common, I had elevated blood pressure. So needing to be I wasn't put on bed rest, but they're like rest, before we're not going to put you on bed rest, but rest. And so my husband, he was all in. And so he filled in the gaps. My kids didn't have their mom as much, availability.
Sure.
So it was a family decision, and our kids were young. They were in preschool. And so we presented it to them as best as we could on an age appropriate level. You are our biggest blessings. What would you think about mommy and daddy, mommy helping another family have babies and be blessed like we are?
Yeah. I think it's amazing, Tiffany. I love the whole story and the journey, and I think it is such an amazing gift. So I'm sure that those families are so grateful that there are women like you who are willing to say yes and are doing it in the right way, because it's changed their lives, I'm sure, for the better.
It's, you know, it's affected and impacted our family probably just as much as theirs.
Sure.
And I always say my husband was the MVP, because you can imagine all the fertility treatments I went through, all those hormonal shots. I've been through, I think, 5-4 fertility clinics. So husband, definitely the MVP.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, one of the other things I want to talk to you about today, in addition to that, and you know, this is a little bit of a you know, everything that you do kind of threads together, which is what I love. And I know that you do a lot with communication for, I think still organizations, correct, you know, right? And go in and teach them how to communicate, but also soul care for these go-getters, for these entrepreneurs, for these, like you said, you're more of that. You had that from the time you were little, you were a planner, you had certain things that you, you know, wanted to accomplish. And I think we have a lot of things like that, but one of the biggest things that we don't attend to is our own soul care. And so I would love for you to talk about that. I am going to give away a copy of your book to a listener after we air this interview. So share a little bit about, first of all, why you created the book, and if you can, a practice or two that's helpful for our soul care.
Yeah. So Soul Care for Go-Getters is a bite-sized daily devotional. And it's for those of us that have that purpose, that plan, that project, that call from God that we're walking out. We know that it's messy. The middle is messy. The enemy of our soul does not want us to fulfill what God has created us to fulfill. And so Soul Care for Go-Getters is really about taking the time to get filled first before we pour out and do what we've been called to do. So, you know, one of my favorite verses is Psalms 16:11, and it says, "He makes known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." So right there, you know, our soul is our mind, our will, and emotions. So if God makes known to us the path and he gives us joy in his presence, that's where we need to start. That's what our soul needs to start. We need to know, right, our mind, where we're going, and we want to have joy on the journey. We want our emotions to be healthy and full as we're walking it out. So it's really a practice of getting our mind right, our heart right, before we do the thing. And in brief chunks, you know, one of the statistics says that each day, an average person thinks 12 to 60,000 thoughts. And 80% of them are negative and 95% are repetitive. So it's meditating on the truth and starting our day off meditating on what the truth is and get our mind headed in the right direction.
I love that, because I love the idea of when we spend our time and, you know, and any of us could do this, and I'm, you know, guilty as the next person. When you break down your day and, you know, as mom, as women, just in general, and even my husband, I don't want to say just women, but this is geared more to women. We accomplish a lot of tasks in a day. There's no getting around it. We're always juggling and spinning plates all over the place, even in our mind, of things that we need to get done. However, having said that, you know, when I don't start the right way, my day the right way, in the word, giving myself those 5 to 10 minutes in the morning. It doesn't have to be long, right?
Yep. Right.
If I don't, and I sacrifice that, if I just, you know, get up late, or if I just, I don't know, you know, life happens, it does affect my day. And there is something to be said for, and I'm trying to incorporate this in my young adult children. I have 3 now out. That if it becomes like your scheduled routine, like if I schedule that, like this appointment that we're having today in this interview, it is a mindset shift. It is something that I actually need to do. It's not that I want to do it. It becomes something that we need to do. And so I love that about this, because I feel like that's that same setting up of a practice. This is a priority. And this book, Soul Care, is making that a priority. It's teaching you how to prioritize it for your life forever.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the tips to do that is pairing. Pair it with something that you're already doing. If maybe that's your morning cup of coffee. Mm. Maybe if it's that 5 minutes of silence before the kids wake up. You know, maybe it's when you are waiting to pick up somebody and you're in the car and you pull out your devotional from the console of your car. So if you can pair it with something that you're already doing, not that you're multitasking because you don't want to be like your mind in a million directions, sure, but pairing it with something that you already enjoy or you're already in a practice in, it makes it a whole lot easier to get it done.
Yeah, that's a great tip. I love that. You know, I mean, and like you said, even if it's just having your cup of coffee, it's something still that's a little bit more relaxed environment. Yeah. You're not juggling and, you know, trying to fit in with something else, but that's a great idea. I love that practice. Well, Tiffany, before I let you go, because I could talk to you all day about all the things that you have going on, I do want you to share a little bit about your ministry, things that you have going on, how people can connect with you, because you have so many other things that you're doing in addition to what we're talking about today. And I would hate to have anybody miss out or miss an opportunity to connect with you personally. Because like I said, you do stuff for corporate, for communication mm-hmm. skills and all of that. So how can women connect with you and what are some things that we can look forward to coming up?
Yes. So I would consider myself a soul uplifter and a success strategizer. And so for those of you women who have that call, have that purpose, have that plan, and either you need a coach or confidant in a journey, I'm your girl. Like I love doing strategy sessions and helping you figure out your focus and your action items, and then bringing accountability to it. You know, they say, if you write something down, tell somebody you're going to do it, and then actually meet with them, that you're like 95% more likely to actually do the thing. So accountability is huge. So I love doing strategy sessions. I especially work with families, ministry leaders, online ministry leaders, and Christian communicators. Those of us who are writing, speaking, and podcasting, helping to get your message out. And of course, I love a good laugh. So if you like your daily laughs, head over to Tiffany Jo Baker on Instagram, or my website is Tiffany Jo Baker. I have a shop, my communication services and strategy sessions there. And most of all, just as we walking it out, knowing that you're not alone and that there's somebody that's cheering you on along the way.
Well, I think you're an awesome cheerleader, Tiffany. I love seeing you on Instagram. I love the face-to-face, but when we don't have that, she is definitely fun, definitely positive energy. So I would really encourage you to go over, follow, check out all the things. You have freebies on your website and everything. So thank you so much, Tiffany. I cannot wait to air this and really share with the listeners all that you are doing in your ministry work and what it really looks like to pick up the act of obedience and say yes to the things that God is calling us to do. So thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Amy. It's been a pleasure.
Well, that's it for us today, friends. If today's episode or any other episode has left you feeling encouraged and inspired, please consider rating, reviewing, or subscribing to Life on Purpose with Amy Debrick from your favorite listening platform. The mission, as always, of Life on Purpose is to meet you where you are, but not leave you there, and let you know that although fear is normal, courage gets the final say. See you next time.